Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. I want all of our listeners to know, if they don't already, that this podcast means the world to me. I love bringing new information and stories to our Mito families and our Mito-associated community. Sometimes the podcast, it focuses more on like a personal story, and other days we talk about big topics. Today's a big topic day. Today, we are talking about PFDD meetings, meaning patient-focused drug development meetings. I'm blown away by this opportunity for our community, and I am joined by one of the most knowledgeable on the topic. There's a lot to learn. I didn't know anything until I met Marina Kalocha, and I am really looking forward to everyone hearing her story and everything there is to learn about these meetings and how they can benefit our community with the pairing of research in the drug industry to hopefully move some treatments forward. So welcome, Marina. I want to give you a moment to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Marcy. It's my pleasure to be here and to share my experience, not only with PFDD meetings, as you said, working in the industry in rare and orphan space for 20 plus years, and I was moderator for more than 40 meetings to date. As we are progressing with our first focused on NILAS meeting, I think it would be great to share some insights and some history, how it was created and how it's progressing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be very curious how many listeners will know about a PFDD meeting before listening to this episode. So there is a lot to learn today. So we need to get right into it. But the reason that we are having Marina on the podcast now is because we are preparing for the first mitochondrial disease focus specifically on MILAS, PFDD meeting in February, and Marina will kind of walk us through all that. But I think the first thing we should do is educate our Mito listeners on exactly what a PFDD meeting is and how one is created. So take it away, Marina.
Well, Marcy, there are several ways how patients and caregivers can work with the FDA, right? And for example, like a patient listening session that we will not address today.
Yeah.
This is something like a very cross-center meeting that allows patient community to share their experience directly with the FDA. And during these sessions, patients, caregivers, their advocates, they share their experience with the condition, talking directly to the FDA staff. And these meetings are usually small, they are informal, they are non-regulatory, non-public teleconferences, just to connect. They are not open to industry or academia, and they're not specific to whatever medical product. So this is the patient listening session, mm-hmm. Small, informal, closed. What we are talking today is the patient-focused drug development meetings, such as externally led PFDD meeting, the one that we will have specifically on MILAS. These are public meetings. Like, it's to make sure that patients' experiences, perspectives, needs, priorities are captured and included into drug development and evaluation process. The PFDD initiative started, oh my God, in 2012 as part of FDA's commitment under fifth authorization of PDUFA. After conducting FDA-led PFDD meetings, FDA recognized that there are many more diseases that can be addressed beyond those that were planned and conducted by FDA. And in order to help to expand the benefits of FDA's PFDD initiative in 2015, FDA announced this opportunity for externally led meetings, which is a great opportunity for patient community. Externally led meetings are planned and hosted by patient organizations with the input of FDA staff, and they use a lot the process already established by FDA-led meetings as a model to follow.
Okay, so the big these are open. These are really to get qualitative information from the patient group.
Right. And they are open to everyone. And we can discuss like who can attend, but they are public. They're documented. The reports are shared openly. And the reports from the meetings are used to inform the decisions in drug development and during the review process.
So it's important to know that when a PFDD meeting is held, it is not directly funneled because of a drug.
Well, externally led PFDD meetings are about patient experiences and perspective needs, right? Related either to their health or disease. A list of topics that, while important, are outside of the scope of the PFDD meeting include such discussions focused on specific commercial medical product, drug or biologic or device, doesn't matter. So these meetings should focus on disease area and general treatment experiences, not a specific product efficacy, safety, and promotion. So then I think other kind of topics that are outside of the scope of the PFDD is discussion of specific product pricing or coverage or reimbursement issues. Some payer-related topics that are not directly related to patient experience, any pathology results or patient raw data that requires clinical interpretation. I saw several examples of this. That could be disputive if it can be presented or not. But again, this focus is subjective real-world experience. Specific considerations, for example, confidential details of ongoing clinical trials or proprietary drug development programs, right? It's more broad, not the specifics of single companies, unannounced research for sure.
Sure.
Or there are topics, for example, outside of the scope where you have promotion of specific clinical trial recruitment or study participation beyond general feasibility of the trial participation. Or, for example, topics where patient organization planning the meeting or agenda was heavily influenced by specific therapy developer, right? So they should not be involved in developing the agenda, discussion questions, and ensure unbiased patient input. That's the most important one.
Okay.
For example, questions like clinical trial burden or protocol design, or they are not framed from general patient perspective. So rather than specific technical aspects of the protocol design, again, these meetings are focused on what does it mean to live with the condition every day?
Right. So the very first PFDD meeting will be held in February, correct? Under the mitochondrial disease umbrella, and it's focused specifically on the MELAS disease patient, correct?
Yes and no. The first externally led PFDD meeting serving the entire mitochondrial disease community was Energy in Action. This meeting was held on March 19th, 2019. This landmark meeting provided a platform for hundreds of patients, caregivers, advocates, healthcare providers to share their experiences and priorities directly with representatives from the FDA and other key stakeholders. It was a very collaborative effort led by several patient or advocacy groups and led by United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation, UMDF.
Oh, okay.
The primary goal was to inform FDA and other stakeholders about symptoms that matter most to patients and the impact of the disease on daily life, helping to shape the development of effective therapies for mitochondrial diseases overall at all. And then the insights were gathered, like the meetings and associated surveys. I think they were published in the Voice of the Patient report in on So just after the meeting. So this meeting was in 2019. The one that we are talking today will be held on February 10th, 2026. So this year. Oh God, it's already this year. It will be specifically focused on MILAs.
Yes.
So the meeting will be hosted by MITRE Action, supported by UMDF and the Muscular Dystrophy Association. This meeting is to provide a platform for patients and caregivers to share their experience with FDA researchers and industry for patient perspectives on living with MILAs and the most important symptoms to address in development for new drug candidates. There are currently, as you know, there are currently no FDA-approved treatments specifically to MILAs.
Right.
This is a very important event. The event is open to all members of the community, including patients, caregivers, clinicians, researchers, and participants will be able to share their experience through live testimony, polling, written comments, and even during calls. So,
and we can all listen in.
Yes, absolutely. You can listen in, and for updates, registration details, you can visit MITRE Action website, or you can contact MITRE Action directly at info@mitreaction.org. This event is also listed on the official FDA website among other upcoming externally led PFDD meetings.
Wow, this is a big deal. This is a really big deal. I the idea of the voice of the patient is so important. I feel like every time I speak to anyone, whether it's in a MITRE Action support group or whether it's interviewing them for the podcast or just getting to know them because of the podcast, it's like, it feels like we need more opportunity for our voice to be heard. And this is such a key platform to have that done at. So I'm really excited for the community right now. I think that this can give us a lot of hope and a lot of progress. So down the road, I mean, probably not this year, but, you know, can a patient lead the charge to coordinate a PFDD meeting?
Yes and no. Like, you know, it's the key participants, right? In the PFDD meetings are patients,
right.
Patient representatives, patient advocates, caregivers, loved ones, and anyone with a lived experience with a disease or condition.
So could I get a PFDD meeting off the ground as a MITRE patient myself?
Usually it is a host organization
Okay. Itself
who's making a request. So let's compare. I think from initially when it was only FDA-led event from 2012 to 2017, FDA conducted 24 disease-specific meetings.
Okay.
When they announced an opportunity for externally led meetings, so from 2014 to date, there were 118 externally led PFDD meetings performed, and 10 meetings are planned during this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So you can see that patient groups are raising an interest to run PFDD meetings, but it takes an effort. It takes an effort.
Yeah, I know you all have been working really hard.
Recommends that patient organizations who are interested in conducting these externally led PFDD meetings, they need to initially engage with FDA. They submit a so-called letter of intent to communicate the importance of this meeting in the context of their disease area, the important details about the meeting plan. It's very brief. I think it's less than 3 pages. It needs to be submitted approximately 1 year before the meeting planned, like before anticipated meeting date, because you will have 1 year for preparation. And the guidelines for developing this letter of intent are available online. And then as soon as you submit, FDA, CDER group, like patient-focused drug development program staff, they coordinate internal review of these LOIs on quarterly schedule. And then you will have a feedback if you are in agenda for next year for the meeting.
So we've kind of mentioned briefly, but are there some things that can't be discussed during a PFDD meeting?
Yes, I think we addressed most of them actually in my comment before. So we really need to think about that externally led PVDD meetings are about patient experiences.
Okay. Okay.
It's all about their perspective, their needs. And it's not about promotion of specific drug or disclosing any confidential information. It's there to have a platform to share their voice. And I think for, if I can say, so in patients with MELAS, voice is important for quality of life, for their social participation, for communicating their patient experience to healthcare professionals. The disease can cause a variety of speech, language, hearing difficulties, which require multidisciplinary approach to manage. And this externally led meeting and the patient voice report will document patient reported outcomes and testimonies. They are crucial for researchers, for regulatory bodies like FDA, for example, to understand the true day-to-day impact and urgent unmet needs of living with MELAS. I think this insights, like just to be sure that you understand what is this meeting, this insights shared by patient will help guide future research. They will guide therapeutic development and regulatory decisions involving patients and their families in discussion about treatment options, for example, such as alternative feeding methods, for example, or I think it's essential, right, to say about this, respecting patients' wishes, ensuring the benefits outweigh the risks. So early interventions for speech, for example, or language or hearing problems can help prevent social isolation and improve overall quality of life. This is what we'll cover during this meeting. MELAS often require caregivers, right, due to progressive nature of the disease. And it frequently involves significant cognitive decline and increasing physical disabilities. And caregivers and individuals with MELAS often report significant emotional and physical and practical challenges due to disease severe nature. This is something that we will capture. The experiences are often characterized by high level of stress and isolation and burnout. And it's very important to document it. We have to document this patient voice.
Have all of the PFDD meetings thus far been focused on a rare condition?
No, not really.
Okay.
When you plan the PFDD meeting, you have some considerations to take into account. And usually FDA recommends considering the following criteria, right? It's first of all, to identify the need for better understanding for purposes of drug development, the patient perspectives on disease area. It doesn't need to be only rare disease, right? Mm-hmm. But for example, if disease area that is chronic or symptomatic or affects functioning and activities and daily living, or disease area that is not formally captured in clinical trial, disease area where there are currently no therapies or very few therapies, or available therapies do not directly affect how patient feels, functions, and survives. That's the most important one. Disease areas where there is severe impact on subpopulations, for example, children or elderly. These are the thoughts about disease perspective for the PFDD meeting. There are also important things to consider. So like collecting patient perspectives to inform therapeutic context of the disease area. In early stage of development of the disease, so what are the symptoms and impacts, for example, of the disease on daily life and how current treatment options address it? So that's one of the options. Another consideration would be, who would be the target patient population? What are the important disease subpopulation or patient characteristics that should be represented? For example, variations of the disease, the spectrum of the severity or spectrum of the experiences with current treatments. Is it valuable to focus, for example, only on particular subpopulations such as children? For example, people with metastatic form of the disease. And I think the last considerations that patient groups need to take into while planning the PFDD is if there were any recent interaction with patient stakeholders and FDA. And if so, how these interactions might inform and focus on proposed meeting. So we need to ensure that there is an aligned effort, right? How you collaborate with other stakeholders in given disease area and how you collaborate with regulatory agencies.
So the meeting sounds wonderful and the most important thing I could ever think of, right? So let's talk more in depth on what happens after the meeting, about the reports and who puts all that together, and then it becomes public. That's all I know. So teach me more.
Okay, so, well, if we're coming back to teaching, the patient-focused drug development initiative hits the 10-year mark this year, and the program evolved a lot. FDA's Office of Commissioner is responsible for managing the agency's patient listening sessions program. And primary responsibility for organizing and leading these PFDD meetings in specific disease areas have been shifted, as we discussed, right? So from initially FDA to patient advocacy. So meetings are now primarily hosted by external patient advocacy groups with specific disease discussions. And it's always a multi-stakeholder effort. When you've asked me if you as a patient can organize a PVDD meeting, probably yes, but I never saw it. It's always a stakeholder effort. The host patient organization is responsible for developing the voice of the patient report, which summarizes the patient experience data, perspectives shared during the meeting, survey results, polling results, calls and comments, everything. The patient organization then submits this report to the FDA and typically posts it on their own website and on FDA's condition-specific meeting reports website, webpage. Then this report is publicly available. It can be used when advising drug sponsors on their drug development programs, when conducting benefit risk assessment. It's also up to the patient organization to circulate the findings through the community and to inform industry colleagues and academia researchers on results. These reports and these results can be used during the other meetings and generate additional meeting materials. They can be also publicly available to inform. Practically, it's all about informing the stakeholders about the disease impact and what is meaningful for the patient so that they can make a decision, they can make a comparison how patient-centric they are during the drug development and review.
I've learned so much today. There is so much to take in. This is such a new concept. Until I met you, I wasn't familiar with this, but I feel like, you know, this is such a great tool that will hopefully years down the road, I know they're not directly related, but it will lead to more treatment. Yeah, or at least it'll help ease the process of getting treatments approved.
I think it's a different perspective. I think first of all, the collaboration helps to ensure awareness,
yes.
Right? The second thing is it allows you to go off silo in drug development because you actually understand what is critical
right.
for the patient. Patient centricity, and you incorporate, for example, insights into your clinical trial or clinical development program early on in order to be successful. And you understand what is meaningful for the patient and you adjust. I think that's the most important. So it's not something that during the meeting you will discuss how the drugs should be approved for MELIS. No.
I just mean down the road, the data, the reports, or not the data, but the reports and you know, quotes from the patients and things like that. You can't mirror that in clinical trial data or anything like that.
Following the meeting, you can anticipate several steps and outcomes, right? As
yeah.
we spoke about a voice of the patient report. That's primary, and it's very important output. It's a very comprehensive report summarizing all the inputs shared by all patients, their families, loved ones, caregivers during the meeting, but also like during the polling session. This report details the symptoms that matter most to the patient and impact on their daily life, their experiences with existing treatments and disease management approaches. You can use this report in order to adjust, like if you are a drug developer, for example, or academia or researcher working in MELAS, you can take this report and adjust your development and research program accordingly to truly incorporate patient voice into your daily practice. For example, guidance for future research and therapy development. So the insights and priorities that will be highlighted in the voice of the report, the voice of the patient report, they will be used, they can be used by the FDA, by pharmaceutical companies, by researchers, by other stakeholders to guide future research, set the clinical trial endpoints, and inform regulatory decisions. The third major outcome is actually informed regulatory decisions. So the patient perspectives captured during the meeting can help FDA better understand the therapeutic context of MELAS, which can inform their decisions regarding the benefit and risk assessment, new therapies, the design of more relevant patient-centric clinical trial programs. Right?
Okay.
Fourth major, I think, is increased awareness and collaboration. This meeting serves and elevates the voice of MELAS community. And it, we see that it fosters collaboration among all the advocacy partners, such as MITRE ACTION, UMDF, MDA. This increased awareness helps attract more attention and resources to the disease, which is important in rare orphan community. And I think final outcome that we can expect is development of relevant or selection of relevant clinical outcome assessments. So this information that we will gather will inform the selection and development of clinical outcome assessments that will be used in clinical trial to measure patient experience. So this is all aligned and guided by the FDA methodologies. In essence, the meeting is a critical step to ensure that patient experience is systemically incorporated into drug development and evaluation process for MELAS. It will help the development and the development of therapies that address the most pressing patient needs. And that's why it is important.
It is so important. So remind our audience when the MELAS PFDD meeting will take place.
The one that is planned for specifically on MELAS is scheduled on February 10, 2026. And as a reminder, please, for the updates or registration details, if you want to listen, you can visit the MITRE ACTION website or reach out to them by email at info@mitreaction.org.
I really hope that we have a great number of people listening in, regardless of their association with MELAS. I think that this is going to be such a critical step, as we've been talking about, and I look forward to everything that could come from it. So, Marina, thank you for educating us on these meetings. You know, we talk often about how there's not enough tools for our rare community, and I feel like this is a huge one, and I hope that our community can take advantage of it in the, you know, next several years in different ways. So thank you. Thank you so much for all of your great information and all of your dedication to prepping for today. I really appreciate it. And I know all of our listeners do too.
Thank you so much, Marcia. I appreciate this opportunity. And I just want to say that MITRE ACTION aims to create a very supportive community. And like, we are aware about isolation associated with MELAS, and we want to allow a wide range of individuals to participate in this support program.
Well, I just think the world of this idea, and I really am so hopeful that progress can happen because of these meetings, right? That's what we can hope for. And I look forward to sitting in and listening and hoping that there are more to come. So thank you, Marina. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.